Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we sang, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, we find the same thing in Psalm 27. The first six verses, as I said before, speak to us about trust in the Lord. David certainly was a man who trusted in the Lord, and notice all the difficulties and problems that he had in his life. Those who trust in the Lord are not those who are not going to have problems in their life. We are not aloof from problems. If you live in this world, you are going to have tribulation. But Jesus said in John 16 that we are to be a people that are of good cheer because He has overcome the world. And therefore, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Romans 8. So, through the trust, even though we have trials and tribulations, we can be a confident people. And that's what we find also in our text this morning, as a confidence. But this is coming at the heels of a lament. So the first six verses speak of trust. From 7 to 14 is David in his lamentation, lamenting. And beloved, it's not wrong to lament. It's not wrong to cry out to God. It's wrong to lament at God. It's not wrong to lament to God. We go through many struggles and trials and tribulations and difficulties, and we cry out to the Lord. You find David in the Psalms, and that's why the Psalms resonate with us. That's why when you go through difficult times, you find yourself going back to the Psalms. That anatomy of the soul that has something of some kind of medicinal for the soul at every point. No matter what you go through. You can find in the 150 Psalms something of the struggle of the psalmist that resonates, reflects upon what you're going through, where you are at a certain point in your life. And so we go to them. And I find this in my life. I find this contradiction, as it were, is a trust and yet a lament. A trust and a difficulty of crisis of faith. Struggling in this fallen, sin-cursed world. Struggling as an individual who is righteous and yet still sinful. And struggling through the difficulties of life. And wondering at times, why do I go through the things that I go through? Why do we struggle so? Why so much difficulty? Why so much heartache? And you find it, don't you? I know why it is. It's because of the fallen world in which we live. And we live among rebels. We live among people who are God-haters. We live among people who are not desiring to live to the glory and honor and praise of God. And therefore, we have world views that are in conflict. And I'm still sinful. I'm being progressively conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. But I'm still sinful. And so there is the struggle of faith. And any of the people that proclaim to be Christians and deny that are simply lying. Because we all have struggles in this fallen world. We all have heartache in this fallen world. And you know, be careful when you see other people from other countries. And we have a tendency to think that people don't grieve like we do. We look and watch the things on the news and you see mothers with their children, and their husbands are off, not soldiers, but as was mandated from 18 to 60, must remain in Ukraine and fight for the country. And we see the wives left with the children and the crying. And you can see those babies that they're holding and realize that these are human beings who are God's image bearers. They may be fallen, they may be restored, they may be those that are believing and trusting in Christ. And yet they hurt, beloved. People hurt. We are human beings. And we are created with a mind, a will, and a motive. And we all have it. And we all struggle. The solution is always found in the teaching of Scripture. I've been through a lot of suffering as a Christian. I am suffering really didn't begin until I became a Christian. When the Lord redeemed me, then I found the struggle and the tension in this world in which we live. Walking by faith, trusting the Lord, and everybody around you, it seems, that we're denying what you say you believe. And it became always a conflict, a worldview warfare. And then you have physical strugglings. And then you have the spiritual struggles that go on. And then one day you're joyful, and the next day you're sad, and it's back and forth and up and down, and it's exhausting at times. And you find, you know, I'm not the only one. This is the people of God who go through suffering and trial and tribulation. And that's why so much emphasis on the body of Christ, to build up and encourage one another, to come alongside of one another, and to care for one another spiritually. Something we don't do as we ought. We don't even do it well. We ought to strive to do it well. It's not going to be a perfection in this life, but beloved, is it even the direction of our lives? This is what you find with David, is lamenting and crying out and longing for that type of fellowship. And so, the trusting in the Lord, which is certainly there for the believer, the confidence that the Lord will bring to pass all of His good, perfect, and acceptable will. There is that confidence, but it's a work in progress, isn't it? It's something that grows. And so David cries out. He begins with that great confidence in the beginning that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Makes me think of Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can stand against us? And yet we fear, don't we? We struggle with not being fearful. When Jesus speaks to His disciples, the most often introduction that He has to them is fear not. Because we're a fearful people. And so we have to be those that are called to courage. Courage implies fear, doesn't it? We're called to be courageous people. And that means to step away from fear. And as Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And yet we struggle being fearful. We struggle with the things that go bump in the night. Some of you are struggling right now with fear. Is there going to be a World War III? Is there going to be nuclear weapons? All of a sudden, some of the movies you may have seen of the apocalypse are starting to be like, is this what it'd be like? Come out from underground and there's nothing left, and the world as we know it is completely, the face of the world and land is completely changed. Engenders fear. What's going to happen? Death of a loved one, a spouse. What's going to happen in my life now? The psalm gives us confidence in the Lord. It calls us to that courage to stand firm in the Lord. David starts in verse 11. He says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies." The enemies are all around. Teach me, instruct me, lead me, guide me, and do so by your word, that your name might be honored and glorified in my life, that I might not bring blasphemy upon your name by the way I live my life. David says, to deliver me not to the will of my adversaries. So here's David in the midst of this struggle. And I said before, as we looked at this psalm, I don't know if this is his conflict that he's having with Saul, or is this something that he's having with Absalom. But it's certainly a conflict that David is having in his life. And he's lamenting to the Lord, and now he turns at the end of this psalm, and he brings great confidence, which encourages the hearts of God's people. And we need to hear this. David had a great desire to be amongst the people of God. We see that in one of the Psalms, Psalm 122, where he speaks about, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." He desired, as one who had been away from the people of God, now desiring and delighting to gather together with them again, but having confidence to know that God is going to work out His good will. And so David says, "I would have lost heart." How about you in the situations in which you go through? Do you lose heart? You see, when I go through trials and struggles and suffering in life, and I realize what the Scriptures teach, and that's where we've got to go, beloved. We have to fall back upon the teaching of God's Word at every turn. That I know that God has a purpose in everything that He does. I don't know the purpose at all times. I know in general, it's to bring glory to His holy name, and it's to cause His people to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. I do know that in general. I do know that God is good. I do know that the Lord is for His people. I do know that He has the power to do all of His good pleasure. I know that as our faithful Father, He will turn all things to our good because He's willing, being a faithful Father. I do know that. But I may not know the particulars of why we go through the particular struggles that we do. So fall back on what you do know for sure. Fall back on what you are assured of, what you are confident of, what the Scriptures speak. That God is for His people. Because if you don't, you're going to lose heart. And this is what David said. I would have lost heart. I would have lost courage. I simply would have been one who was fearful and fretting and fleeing. Because that's what happens, isn't it, when we fear. Oftentimes when we fear, we flee. We run. And David said, I would have lost heart. I would have lost my strength. I would have lost my resolve. Picture of a soldier in the battle, and if he loses heart, what does he do? He turns on heels and runs. He has no confidence that this war is going to be a victory. Same thing for us with the trials that we go through. If you don't know that God has a purpose in all of these things, and be careful that you don't fall into rationalism. Talked about that before. We are rational creatures, but we can fall into a humanistic, rationalistic frame of mind, thinking that if I can't understand it, then it must not be so. That's false, beloved. There are lots of things I don't understand. Just what we mentioned this morning with a stillborn child. I don't know. I don't know the specifics. I know it didn't happen by chance. I know that the Lord has a design even in this. I know that He is God, I am not. I know that I don't know His secret will until it's revealed to us moment by moment in His providence. But if you're not confident of what God says in His Word, you're going to lose heart. You're going to wonder why you suffer so and why you struggle so. Unless you know that our God is for us and He has a purpose even in this, even if we don't understand. This is what is told to Habakkuk. Habakkuk had the confidence at the end that said, you know what? If my stalls don't have calves in them and if my figs don't bear, I will still trust in the Lord my God. I will still have confidence. Job said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Beloved, we don't live for ourselves and we don't die to ourselves. We live for the Lord and we die to the Lord, and we are the Lord's, and therefore we are to serve Him in His kingdom, not to create our own little kingdoms. If you're of a mindset of creating your own little kingdom, you're going to lose heart. You're going to struggle. David said, I would have lost heart. I would have. He didn't. But he said he would have unless he had believed. Do you believe? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe the promises of God? Do you believe? It's by faith we understand. Hebrews 11. It's by faith we understand that the things that are not made by the things that were there beforehand, that God spoke these things into existence. By faith we understand that Noah built an ark to the saving of his soul and his whole household. By faith we believe. Do you believe? Do you trust? That's a God-wrought faith. And beloved, even as those who have faith, we can start to lose heart. And so we must go back to the teaching of God's Word. I think the biggest problem we have is we let our heart speak rather than speaking truth to our heart. Instead of taking the Word of God, if God be for me, who can stand against me? If I live to the Lord. If I die to the Lord. Whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. Take that and roll that around in your mind. That engenders confidence for the Christian. That God has a purpose even in the war that we see. Even if the whole world was to be decimated. Psalm 46. Even though the mountains be shaken and be removed and cast into the midst of the sea. We're not going to fear. We are the people of God. God always cares for His people. And so David said, unless I had believed. Believing is trusting in the Lord. Believing is believing the Word of God, is trusting the Word of God. When you say you believe someone, you believe their word. And it's proved out when they carry out what they say they're going to do. That's why we're called to let our yes be yes and our no, no. Do you believe what somebody says? And this is the question, do you believe God? David believed through his trials, through his struggles, through his difficulties, that he would see the goodness of the Lord. Beloved, every Lord's Day, we gather together and we see the goodness of the Lord. We see the goodness of the Lord in the salvation of sinners. We see the goodness of the Lord in the sanctification of His church. We see the goodness of the Lord in the provision that He provides for us continually. We see the human love that God gives to us. We see the love of God shed abroad in the heart by His Holy Spirit. We see answers to prayers. We see God being merciful. We see the grace of God, the goodness of God. We see the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We sing out the honor of His name. We gather corporately as His people. We hear the promises of God. We're seeing the goodness of God right before our eyes every single moment of every single day. And especially as we gather together on the Lord's Day, corporately as the people of God, we're seeing, we're hearing, we're experiencing the goodness of God. Surely God is good to Israel. Surely God is good. He is essentially good. He is always good. I want to make a correction here with many of what people say. So you take a trip and you go from point A to point B and you arrive there and you say God is good. Now what's implied in that is that God is good because I made my trip. What if you didn't make your trip? What if you started at point A and you got halfway to point B and you got into a car crash and you died? I don't hear anybody saying God's good. Why not? God is always good. God is essentially good. God's very nature is good. And whether I get from point A to point B, God is still good. If I'm here tomorrow, God is good. If I am not here tomorrow, God is still good. We've got to get out of the mindset that as long as my plan comes together in fruition, well, then God is good. But if it doesn't, I don't hear anybody saying, you know, God is good. In the death of a loved one, God is good. In the sickness of a loved one, the declines in health, and you're managing that health, and the decline continues to happen, and I don't hear people crying out, and God is good. God is good, beloved. God is good all the time. And His goodness abounds to us. God is good to all of His creatures. That's not the grace of God. The goodness of God is seen in His providential bounties, that He provides for the whole world. That's not an aspect of salvation. That's specifically the grace of God in redemption in Christ Jesus. But God gives good things to the reprobate and to the elect. And you see it all around us. The rain and the sunshine. The crops God gives to us. God gives us families. God gives us food to eat. Which could become sparse here as the time goes on. Who knows what's going to happen? All the wheat exports no longer from Ukraine. 40-some% of the fertilizer in the world comes from Russia. No more exportation of that. What's going to happen in the farming communities? What's going to happen as time goes on? Well, you go to the grocery store and you say, well, I see food still on shelves. Wait and see what happens 3 months from now. As that catches up to us. Is God still good? God is always good, and His goodness abounds. And we are the people of God who experience it, and who see it, and who declare it, that God is good. And David is speaking here, not of heaven, he's speaking of the land of the living. He's speaking of the people of God, he's speaking of the here and now. And he says, I see God's goodness, and therefore in the land of the living, I take heart. I am encouraged by that. So David has confidence. Again, trust and then lament, and he ends with a confidence that the Lord will bring to pass all that He promises, that He will never leave David and He will never forsake David. And beloved, when you go through the problems and the difficulties of your life and you're not reflecting upon the promises of God, you may be brought right to this place of losing heart because you're not listening to what God is saying. You're not hearing what the Lord says in His Word. And we all fall into that from time to time. But you know, if you're not one who is frequenting the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is not having anything to bring up to your memory. And the Holy Spirit uses His Word as we apply ourselves to the truth of His Word, and He brings that up and brings comfort and courage and confidence to the people of God. And we need it. So make it your activity and your daily habit and a routine in your life. And I don't mean routine in a bad way. Incorporate it into your lifestyle that you're reading the Scripture every day or listening to the Scriptures. You have got to get God's Word down into your soul every single day. That is how we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we are built up in the most holy faith. That is how we are enabled not to lose heart, beloved, because we believe the promises of God. David, lastly, he closes this chapter with these words. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. We're not good at waiting, are we? We live in a society that doesn't want to wait. Ever see people in line? Maybe you're one of them. It's like you have apoplexy because you have to wait a few minutes. Or somebody in front of you at Walmart breaks out all those coupons and you're breathing hard. Like your life is coming to an end because you have to give 5 minutes waiting for this individual. We're not good at waiting. When I was in California, Taco Bell had a little sign on there with the 30-second time frame on there, and they guaranteed to have your food in 30 seconds. Well, if you're going to have your food in 30 seconds, there's something wrong with you. Slow down. And this is really a call, isn't it? And this is a command to us. David, he writes in the imperative mood. This is a command. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. Part of our waiting is not that we're inactive. Waiting doesn't mean inactivity. It means that we are one who is waiting upon the Lord to reveal, unveil His plan, as it were, to bring it to pass. We come and we worship, we come and we pray, we come and we sing, we come and we give, we come and we confess, we come and we hear. And we leave it with the Lord. And we can do what God has called us to do and no more, no further. God must bring it to pass. Wait, beloved. Don't run ahead of the Lord. Let me give you an example of running ahead of the Lord. The Lord told Abraham, this time next year when I return, Sarah is going to be pregnant. And she's going to give birth to a son, and you're going to call his name Isaac, which means laughter, because that's what Sarah did when the Lord told Abraham that Sarah was going to have a child. She laughed in the back of her tent. I mean, she was 90 years old, Abraham near 100. Yeah, that was kind of funny to them. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? And so Abraham, what did he do? He had a child, not with Sarah, but with his handmaiden, because he thought in his mind, well, maybe this is what the Lord meant. So Sarah gives the handmaiden, and he has a child by Hagar. And what do we have now? We have the Muslims come from the Ishmaelites. And so we have the constant conflict spiritually in the world. Why? Running ahead of the Lord. That is not what the Lord meant. It was through His seed, not through the handmaid. 14 years interval from the time that the Lord spoke to Abraham and then he had his child until he spoke to him again. It's the discipline of the Lord. We sang, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Because when you disobey, what's going to happen? You're going to get spanked. To you children. Same thing with your parents. When you obey your parents, it goes well with you, doesn't it? You live in their house, you eat their food, you don't have a job, And so they tell you, this is how you're going to live, and if you don't live this way, it's not going to go well with you. Forget the timeouts. That's for sporting events. Spanking. That's what the book of Proverbs teaches. Discipline your children and do so promptly. If you spank them, you're not going to kill them. You're going to keep their souls from hell. You're going to give them a regimen how to live their lives in an honor to God. That's what wisdom does. That's what wisdom teaches. So we must wait upon the Lord. We must wait for the Lord to bring the things to pass. There are things that we desire. They may be good things. But you want it, and you want it now. And David is saying, wait on the Lord. When Joshua went out to battle with the children of Israel, they went to Ai and they were defeated, roundly defeated. Came back and began to pray. They hadn't sought the Lord before they went out to battle. We can be overconfident, can't we? We can be arrogant people in that way to do our own will, because this is what I have in mind and I'm going to force it through, and this is what I want to do and I want God to rubber stamp my program. It's not going to happen, beloved. We are here to serve Him. He is not the gumball dispenser in the sky. The Santa Claus, as it were, in the sky that people want to think that God is just going to give all these good things and provide for all of my plan. No, we're here to live His will. So wait upon the Lord. Be patient. Comfort yourself with knowing the Lord is going to bring it to pass when? In His perfect timing. God is never late. Never too early. He's always right on time, because the timing is His time. And so while you're waiting, be of good courage. Courage implies fear. There's fear in the heart. And so we have to stand courageous. We need to stand bold. We need to have a firm resolve. You know what courage is? It's the strength to continue to do that which brings fear to your heart. Falling off the horse and it's getting back on the horse. And there's a fear to get back on the horse. It's the courage, it's the strength, it's the resolve to do the right thing in the face of all the conflict. You ever been there? You ever been there where you had to speak something that you knew was going to really irritate people, but yet it was true, and it was right, and it was the just thing to do, and you did it? It takes courage, doesn't it? It takes courage when it's you standing against a mob. It takes courage. It took courage for Luther to stand against the Roman Catholic Church at that time. Those that were advocating with the medieval monks and the teaching of Rome, it took courage for him to stand firm and to speak the truth. And he waxed, he waned, he struggled, but it took courage. And it's God-infused boldness is what it is. And that's what we need. We need a God-infused boldness of our day to speak the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Not to be arrogant, not to be rude, not to be self-righteous and smug, but to speak what is true. To honor the Lord in the speaking of His Word, the speaking of truth. We did not evolve. We were created by our Heavenly Father. He is the one who has created all things. We didn't come from apes. We didn't come from amoeba. We came distinctly as the crown of God's creation. And now it's always laughable to me as people say, well, look at evolution. You know, the same chemical makeup that you find in monkeys is the same thing that we're all from the dirt. Do you understand that? We are rational creatures. They are not rational creatures. We are image bearers of God. Animals are not image bearers of God. They don't have the intellect. They don't have rationality. They're without rationality. They have no logic. They live by instincts. We do not. We are thinking creatures. Stand firm and speak the truth. Who cares what people think of you? If we would have more fear and honor and obedience and reverence for our God, we would have less fear of the world. And that is really essentially the problem, isn't it? We're afraid of what people are going to say. And so he says, be of good courage. You cause yourself to be of good courage. How am I going to do that? Remember the promises. Remember the providence. Remember the provision of our God. God will always provide. He is orchestrating all things for His glory. And He has promised. Why do we enter into the kingdom of heaven? Because You, Lord, have promised. Not because of what I have done, because of your promise that your Son has redeemed a multitude which no man can number from every tribe, tongue, and nation of the world. Encourage yourself. Encourage yourself. And you do that with the word of truth. And notice that as we're doing something here, encouraging ourselves by going back to the word, God strengthens our heart. Notice that happening there? It's kind of like a Philippians 4. When we cast our cares and our petitions upon Him, He gives us peace. How is that? We come with cares. We come with concerns. We come with fear. And God gives us peace. Peace wells up in our heart. Peace floods our heart. Here, we strengthen ourselves in the promises of God, and God is the one who then strengthens our heart. And that's the ineffable work of the Holy Spirit. As we're doing this, He is doing something in us as well. When we become strengthened, we become emboldened, we become firm. Not arrogant, not smug, not self-righteous. But we stand firm in our God. We put on the whole armor of God, that we might make firm stand against the wicked one. Are you encouraging your heart? Are you waiting on the Lord? Are you trusting that He will bring His plan to pass? And that His will is always good, perfect, and acceptable? Pull back the reins, beloved, if you have the idea to run ahead of the Lord. Pull it back. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Comfort your heart by being in the Word and reflecting on the promises of God. And as you are, watch the Holy Spirit with that ineffable work that He does, strengthen your heart. And give you, as it were, an infused boldness as you are reflecting upon the truth of the Word. It's an amazing thing, 2 Corinthians 3, that as we behold Jesus as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from one level of glory to the next, even by the Spirit of our God, as we behold Him in His Word. And so as we behold the promises, God is doing that work of strengthening, giving courage to the heart. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And instead He says it, wait, I say. Wait on the Lord, and He will bring it to pass. We need two of those things for sure today. Learning to wait and to be patient and let the Lord bring His will to pass and not trying to push things through and encouraging our own hearts with meditation upon the promises of truth. That is the way that the Lord will strengthen His people, even as He strengthened David in the midst of his trial and struggles. Amen. Shall we pray?